At California Closets, we design for the little things. Take this moment of a woman getting dressed for an early meeting while her husband's still asleep.
Ah, sorry.
And now, the California Closets version of that moment, featuring custom soft close drawers. Bedroom and home storage solutions by designers who get you. California Closets, more room for what matters.
Welcome to Stacked. I'm Elise Ryan, and I'm so excited to share my passion, power, and purpose with you. Well, I am beyond thrilled about my two next guests, the dynamic duo, my two daughters, Ryan and Shaney. Welcome. Hello.
Are you there?
You. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, we're here.
Great. I wanted to tell you.
Happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. It's so weird because I see your faces and here we are. And I've been talking about this for so long. And it's finally the day. It took a lot to get you two here and to commit, but we're here. And that's a good thing. So Ryan is my oldest daughter, and she's a consultant in the financial services industry. And Shaney is my baby, and she's a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. And in my view, my girls are smarter or more capable of anything than me. But we're going to have a lot to talk about today. No filter. Here we go. I'm excited to have you. So girls, tell me, what do you think about your mom doing this podcast? I want an honest answer. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Shaney.
I'm excited for you. I think it's a good, exciting new hobby for you, Mom. And you've been so passionate about this. I feel like when you find something that you want to do, you just go all in. And so it's been fun watching you go all in on this new experience.
I know, but you've been telling me, Mom, you have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. So I,
well, Mom, you're funny, right? Like your personality is hilarious. You have 1,000 friends with so many different stories. And I mean, your life is just one adventure after another. I feel like all my friends, just love hearing from you and love, like talking to you. And so I think it's a great way for everybody else to continue to hear your stories and to laugh with you about all the funny things that happen in life.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thank you, Shaney. You gave me an empowerment right now. I feel so good about myself. And Rye?
It's all strange, honestly. I mean, it's good that you're doing it. I'm just trying to figure out the purpose of it. So maybe you can enlighten us and tell us the purpose of it.
Well, part of the purpose is the two of you sitting here today. I hope I've been a good role model my entire life for you girls. One of the reasons also I'm doing this, I've talked about it for about a year, is Shaney has an obsession with podcasts, and now she's got me obsessed with podcasts. And one of the podcasts that she listened to is The Toast, and she listens to it faithfully. And she's like, you have to listen to them. You have to listen to them. They're so funny. And I know, I mean, they're very young and they're very hip. I'm not, I'm older and stuff, but I literally for the last year have been talking about it. And Shaney says, you should, Mom, you should definitely do this. It means a lot to you. You have a lot to say, a lot to share. So this is one of the reasons I'm doing it. Thank you, Shaney, again, for the empowerment. Not sure yet about the empowerment from you, Rye, but maybe by the end of the podcast, I'll have a little bit more empowerment. You know, one of the things that I hope that I instilled in you girls is power, passion, and purpose, the reason I'm doing this podcast. And I hope some of it rubbed off on you, gals, and it is what has made you thrive today. So is there anything that you want to say about Mom that maybe brought you to where you are sitting today, of power, passion, and purpose? And please do share. Cause there's a lot of people listening here, and you can be very honest, you know, don't sugarcoat this.
We're laughing because on your backdrop, all of a sudden these fireworks started coming up as you were talking about passion and purpose. And so behind you, Ryan and I were seeing exploding fireworks.
Oh, well, there's a reason for everything. There's a reason.
I think, Mom, you are fiercely passionate about everything that you do. And so whether it's like supporting a cause, like supporting like your jewelry, and your support for what's been going on in Israel for the the last year plus, or it's your support for childhood cancer, or even just to get us into a Zac Brown backstage tour. Like I said earlier, you go all in. And so you are definitely a great role model when it comes to passion and pursuing.
You put 120% into everything. There's no in between a 0 and 100% that you would fall. You're 150% actually.
Yeah. Sometimes you
reminds
say,
me of Shane, it reminds me, Shaney, of remember when she got Tony DeChico as your soccer coach as a kid?
Yeah. When I didn't make the soccer team, my mom had to like make sure that she got when I was on the B team, she had to get a coach that was good enough to teach the B team how to beat the A team. And that's a good example, mom. You always have to, when you see something, just go after it with, like Ryan said, 120%.
Yeah. Your father and I did a podcast yesterday and we brought up that situation. It was very, very funny. But I wanted you to have every opportunity. And when I felt that something wasn't fair, like a young child being cut at 9 years old from a soccer team, I was going to do whatever I had to do to give you an opportunity, Shaney, to be that athlete. So,
well, no, it was more than that, mom. I mean, it was like, I didn't get invited to somebody's birthday party and you would call their mom to see if their mom would invite me to the birthday party because you wanted us to be.
That is so not true.
When it would be Shaney's birthday party, you would throw like it was like the president was coming to town.
Absolutely.
Just to
but
Shaney,
that is not true. When you didn't get invited to a birthday party, there was something mean going on, mean girl stuff. And so I did not call the mom. I got revenge another way. I purposely had a really beautiful party. And I guess maybe their kid didn't a wedding and maybe their kid didn't get the invitation. But you know what? I've learned a lot since then. I was a young mom and I did the best I could, but it was really hard when back in those days raising two daughters and dealing with girl issues, and it wasn't easy. So that brings me to the next thing about you two being raised by me and your father. If I was to ask you in a few words, what would you say was a good takeaway, positive, that you, a success, I guess, is the best way to put it, that you have internalized from your father and I raising you girls? I'm not in the negative yet, but in the positive, a success.
You have very much taught us to be independent thinkers and very strong women. And people that can make a difference in the world. I used to ask you and Dad, you know, what is it that you're most passionate about? And you guys would say, making my kids, you know that they can make a difference in this world. So you guys have done that.
Thank you. Shaney?
You've also taught us the importance of both family and friends, surrounding yourself with a really good village and surrounding yourself with family that can take care of you. As you always say to us, it takes a village. And so I think that's something that, I don't want to speak for Ryan, but I think that's something that we both are constantly building in our lives.
That's a good point. We do have an amazing, we call it the village, a group of people that we've all raised our children together and we're watching them grow and mature and get married and have babies. I do want to mention that Ryan, my oldest, is a mother of two, Lennon and Mavie. And Shaney is a new mom, a few weeks old, and has a beautiful little boy named Lewin. So we'll come back to that, but I couldn't be more proud. But yes, it takes a village. And we have an amazing village. And I did instill in you that wherever you end up in your life, wherever you end up, and right now, Ryan, you're in Connecticut, Shaney, you're in Washington, try to build a village. Get people that make you better people, people that support you, and you do the same as them as well. So I want to talk about the negative, and I don't mean this meanly, but if you were being raised by your father and I, if there was something that you would change, something that how we raised you right now, what would it be that you would change that you will not do with your children? My God, we're perfect. I'm going to tell Dad we are so perfect. No, seriously.
I think we're both thinking, where do we start?
Oh gosh, it could be a whole list, huh?
No, I mean, I think there's a couple things that come to mind. You and Dad, when it came to just like womanly things in life, like puberty and sex and periods and all of that, you and Dad totally backed away and did not want to talk to Ryan.
She's looking away. She doesn't know. You never talked to us openly about those types of things.
For those of you listening, I'm interjecting. I did, but I'm going to let them finish. Go ahead.
Oh, you didn't.
She did not.
Mom, I literally got my period and you handed me an American Girl doll book and you said, read it. I mean, that was the extent of our discussion. Mom, that was the extent of our discussion.
Okay, go ahead, Shane.
Mom, I was in high school changing in front of my friends and they all were making fun of me because I was wearing my thong underwear backwards because you didn't teach me how to wear underwear the right way.
First of all, you were so young and I didn't know you had thongs because we told you you weren't allowed to
in
wear
high
them.
School?
Yeah, back then it was so inappropriate. Literally, when you told me they made fun of you, I didn't even know what to say because I didn't know you were wearing them. But you know what, Shaney? I can't believe you didn't know how to wear a thong. You had an older sister who wore a thong. Ryan, why didn't you help her?
Mom, we didn't talk about those types of things. Like, it was just, I was dating Dave at 15 years old, asked you if I could go on birth control, and you said, you better not be having sex until you're married. And now I'm married to the guy. But like, that was the extent of our conversation.
You were 15. And yes, I come from the old school. We did not really talk about those things. However, I did say you were not supposed to be doing this. So please refrain from doing it. And you were supposed to listen to me. And I guess you didn't.
When Lennon or Maverick come to me, I want to have a conversation about it. Like, open conversation about what that means, the emotional thing, the physical thing about being a woman. We never talked about that.
Well, I recall a few conversations. And I do. We're just good. For those of you who can't see us, you should see the faces going on right here. It's unbelievable. We did talk about those things. And there are some things I probably wouldn't repeat because they wouldn't be appropriate. But yes, I did. I did talk to you about these things. But I do agree with you that I was a little challenged in that department because things back when I was being raised were talked about, but not a lot. You just were supposed to do the right thing. And I thought that I empowered you girls and I taught you girls to make good choices. And I really, at 15, did not feel like it was the appropriate thing to enforce sex at 15 and put you on the pill. That's just how I feel. I still feel that way, but I'm probably wrong. A lot of people out there will probably say, oh, shame on you, Elise.
Force is a strong word.
It was bigger than sex, right? It was also just like Ryan said, it was our periods. Like I remember sitting in front of a mirror and I did not know how to use a tampon. And I sat there for an hour trying to figure out how it all worked.
Shani, it's not that hard. Come on.
Well, actually, Shani, back up a little bit. I remember, I would think I was like 10 or 12 years old and I loved my dolls. I was passionate about my American Girl dolls. And Mom, I was trying to play Olympics with them or something and I needed trophies and I put tampons all over my bedroom thinking those were the doll's trophies and I didn't know what they were. And instead of telling me what a tampon was, you just like yelled at me to clean them up.
It was like horrifying to walk in a room and see what I saw. But I do remember, and I don't know which one of you, I could probably guess. I do remember that I was there for the moment. Okay. And I did have to come into the bathroom and help you. But Shaney, I do remember a moment and I did help you. But that book, that American Girl doll book, was fabulous. It really was. It gave you pictures and diagrams and everything. So helping other people move forward, you would want me to do what now? Explain.
I think there's a difference
now.
Too late. Yeah. I mean,
you're helping other mothers that are listening or young mothers that are listening.
I don't think you did anything. I think you were very with your time, to say the least. I think that you were, that was the t- time, it was more of a conservative time. We didn't talk about these types of things. Nowadays, I think we talk about those types of things. We talk about mental health. We talk about different types of social things that happen in the work. Like, we talk about things more openly, right?
That's true.
And so that's something where back then it was just black and white, right? That's just kind of what it was. And now it's a spectrum. And so there's a lot more progressive conversations around that.
Thank you, Ryan. Okay. So we've tackled this. That was wonderful from my consultant. We've tackled that conversation. And I can't wait, now that I'm a spectator, that you have your own children and you go through those years. I can't wait to be taking a backseat and watch how this is all going to play out. But I'm sure you'll do a fabulous job. There's no doubt. Thank you.
Well, I think it was last night, Ryan's daughter, Lennon, was wanting to see my newborn baby's poke, as she kept calling it.
What's a poke?
So it's a good question.
Oh my gosh.
She's four. She's trying to understand the difference between girls and boys.
And I hope you're doing a good job, Ryan. This is a perfect example. Ryan, what did you do in that moment?
Well, she says, Shani was giving Lewin a bath. And Lennon goes, "Where's his poke?"
Okay.
And Shani showed him his poke.
Oh, okay. So she knows what a poke is. Okay. See, this makes me a little bit, you see me, I'm getting a little anxious with this, because I'm wondering how you're going to parent through this. So after she saw the poke, what did you do, Ryan?
And does it look like daddy's poke? And then she goes, "Daddy's is way bigger."
Oh gosh. See, this is so... not me. This is this generation, everyone who's listening. Everything's just an open book. There's some things back in my generation that we hid.
And then daddy goes, "I love you, Lenny." Oh. And that was the end of the conversation.
Okay. Onward. What is the worst advice I ever gave you, girls? Think about this. The worst advice.
I think mine is... that if somebody doesn't answer their phone, you just call them 20 more times until they answer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rye, do you have any, or did I give you nothing but the best advice?
I don't remember like explicit advice.
Okay. What if raising two daughters, it was like a whirlwind. And Dad and I were talking about last night, and we said, what did they fight about the most as young girls? What was the biggest fight? Because I just remember some of those screaming and yelling matches. And I think I remember some of them, but I'm curious, what do you remember the two of you fighting about the most?
Jenny locked me out of the bathroom. That was terrible. That was like, and then she got mad and she unscrewed the actual handle to the bathroom door, the lock, and put it the other way around. So then I really couldn't get into the bathroom anytime.
And she probably had good reason, right, Shani?
Probably. I mean, Ryan had hair everywhere in the shower and it would gross me out, all the hair. So I would take the hair out of the shower and put it in her bed.
I do remember. Yes.
So maybe that. Or I would get upset that Ryan would eat all my new snacks from the store. So I would hide them in my closet, like all my favorite gummy bears or whatever I was buying. Maybe that.
I remember it was just a shouting wars. This wasn't just such beautiful two sisters all the time. There was definitely a power struggle. And I wonder if a lot of it was because of your personalities. And I think about it as I watch you as adults today. You're both very, very, very strong-willed girls. Do you think that's because you both are very similar in a lot of ways? What do you think, Shay?
Yeah, I think we are similar in a lot of ways.
I think that
we were raised by the same parents, and well, I don't know. Sure, we do have our similarities and our differences too.
Well, you know what? That's what makes the world go round. But I sometimes would listen to some of these moms, and probably they were lying to me. My daughters, they're so best friends. They're so cute. They're so, and I'd be like, wait, one might just pulled the hair out of the other one's head. The other one just got locked out of a bedroom, and just what you're saying. But I think that developed you, the character you are today. You're both very good friends now. You are both very, very driven. And it's so exciting to me as a mom now that you both have children and you're going to be in the same arena and at this, you know, raising your children together, experiencing all these wonderful, wonderful times together. So, you don't know what it is as a mother looking in to look at the two faces that I'm looking at now and see what I see. So, I'm excited for to what's ahead. One of the things I wanted to talk about as both of you as new moms, and Shani, you're only a few weeks into this, but having the children that you have now, and I know that when I had both of you, the minute that I had you, my life changed tremendously that day, tremendously. And everything that I viewed differently. For example, before I had you, I was into causes and stuff, and I respected and I donate to everything, but I didn't feel as passionate about things as I did once I had you. Once I had you, the world revolved around you and how I was going to make, empower young daughters, how I was going to have a business and be able to be a good mother, and you know how I was going to make the world a better place. And one of the struggles that I had was, I worked since the day I got married, and one of the struggles I had, and I'm watching you, and Shani, you're not back at work yet, but I'm watching Ryan, is a lot of times, and I told Ryan, there's no easy answer to this. When you're raising children and you're a mother working, you live sometimes with guilt. You're not there all the time. You're not at this mom and me class. You're not this, you're not that. And I often say to you girls, do you remember me not being around? Do you remember being neglected? Do you remember, you know, what do you remember? And then we're about me as a mom working, and then we'll talk about you and what your thoughts are for the future for your children.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that you used to get us Subway a lot for dinner because you were working so much that you couldn't make a dinner, which is fine.
Somehow I remember cooking, but okay, let's just go with it. Subway for dinner, because that was a healthy option back then.
And I used to have to carpool with like these random kids because you couldn't take me to practices and stuff. That was fine.
We negotiated. The carpool.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, I don't really remember big things you weren't there for.
So I did work a lot. Yeah. I did travel. So that's a good thing.
You worked a lot at night when we went to bed. You would work when we were at school and then stop working from like 4 or 5 till we would go to bed. And then you worked at night when we would go to sleep.
That's what I was thinking. My room was right across from your office in our old house. And I remember the light on there. Like the light on in your office every single night when we were trying to go to bed or when we were going to bed, and you working every night.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I did my best because Dad traveled a lot in those days. So I had to figure out where is the happy medium. And I do worry about you girls because you're both perfectionists. You both have big careers. And I know that you're both trying to be the best moms you can be and successful at your careers. And it's not easy. And so I am going to ask you, Shani, you're not back at work, so you really probably can't respond. You can give a perspective of watching Ryan and me, but what advice do you have, Ryan, to a girl who's in her, you know, 30s, who's going through what you're doing, and, you know, how to make it work and how to not live with the guilt and how to, you know, figure out dinner and all the things that you're struggling with?
I haven't really figured it out yet, but I think what gets me by is by having, I outsource a lot. So for example, I have this amazing cleaning lady named Hannah, who is my godsend, and she could come and move in with me any day. And she makes my life very easy during the week. So then on the weekends, I could have quality time with my kids. And so I think that's really important, and it's money well spent. And as much as it takes from like a childcare and support perspective. And so, you know, we invest a lot in that because we know that the time we do have with the kids, we want to have quality time.
That's a good answer. Shani, what do you foresee?
I think it'll be difficult. I'm sure it will, because I think I'm in a job that has a lot of evening activities, and, you know, it's not something that I can pass up on. And so I think it's going to take a lot of communication and planning from my husband, Ted, and I. So both of us are very type A planners and organizers. And so I foresee us having to lean into that skill and work together to figure it out each week.
I have to compliment you. They literally had a baby a few weeks ago, and I've never seen, now it could change, but I've never seen a more organized couple in my entire life. Sorry, Ryan. But truly, you must have read every book. You must have, you know, you planned everything, and it went so smoothly. And I only hope it continues. But there will be bumps, as we know. But I'm very proud of you in that department. Ryan, I'm very proud of how you make it all work.
Even.
I have to be even here because Ryan's face is like, oh, my God. What she? But it's amazing, though, how it comes together at the end of the day for Ryan. Sometimes I just sit there in disbelief. But Dave and her make it work, and they have two great, great kids. So back to what we were talking about. So the future, now that you're parents, you see life differently since you've had the children. And like I said, my life changed the way I look at what's going on in Israel, you know, what's going on with cancer research. I worry about everything. I'm a massive worrier. Now that you're parents, how have you changed, Shani, in the last few weeks, Ryan, in the last 4 years? Like, how's your perspective on life change? What do you want for your children?
I'm going to let Ryan go first. She has much more experience than me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't realize it as much because social media it was just becoming a thing when I was in high school and college, I guess. Like, we had MySpace in high school and started to have Facebook. And then in college, we started to have Instagram. But the presence it has on this next generation is just, it's enormous. And I worry about my kids and the information they're fed through YouTube TV, through social media, through friends, whatever it might be. And you just really have to make sure you're monitoring every little thing. And so, like, even Lennon sits there and my older one watches YouTube TV. And I mean, you have to sit and watch and understand what she's watching every day. But on a more macro scale, as she gets older, right, and you kind of see the stuff that's out there, you need to make sure that she understands the full picture of a story and news channels and what's happening in this world. And it's not just some siloed view that's being fed from certain propaganda. So that's something I always worry about.
Janie, I haven't posted a picture of Lewin yet because I'm trying to get permission from you and Teddy. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ted is particularly, we both are, but he is also very concerned about all of the social media issues and just kids being shown on social media. And so it's a battle that I think we're going to be fighting for a lifetime. But I think in the last couple of weeks, just having to give up so much control, like, I'm such a control freak. And I've realized, like, okay, I can't care about this. And both Ted and I have had to say that, like, you know, we were initially saying, we're not going to be the pacifier family. We're not going to use pacifiers. Well, as soon as that baby was crying day one, we're like, take this pacifier. Or just, you know, with other things that are coming up already, I think both of us are just having to let go a lot and say, it's not a big deal if we're 20 minutes late here or if this doesn't work out as planned.
Yeah, I was there for all the pacifier conversation. And I literally, the hardest thing for a Jewish mother is to stay in her lane. And I would just sit there. You guys can elaborate on this. But when he said, we're not using a pacifier, and I said, okay. And then I look at Shani and the baby's crying. And then she finally put the pacifier in and he's so happy. He was just so happy. So it's so hard for me not to give my advice. I really have to bite my tongue, but most of the time I can't. I just have to say how I feel, right, girls? But, you know, that's just...
I mean, it's the same thing. The same fight with the SNU. It's like, we don't want to get our son addicted to the SNU. Well, if he likes the SNU and he's going to be quiet in the SNU. But no, I think what we should talk about, Mom, and what's funny to think about is a couple of weeks ago when I was in labor, I just feel like it's so people understand your personality and what went on. It was Ted and I going to the hospital at 3 a.m, something like that. I called my mom and I said, Mom, just want to let you know, I'm going to the hospital now. You know, it could be a long day. We'll see what happens. My mom at 3 a.m, goes on Google Flights, sees that the first flight to Washington, D.C. is at 6 a.m., packs her bags in that moment, gets to the airport immediately, gets on that 6 a.m. flight. The next thing I know, my labor was, things were happening very quickly. And the doctors told me around 10 a.m. that I was going to have to start pushing. And at 10 a.m., opens the door, my mom, I'm here. And the doctors are saying,
yes. I'm like, I know, mom, like, thank you.
So, but
the doctors were like, do you want her here for your pushing? I mean, do you want this to happen? I was like, well, I don't know. I can't, I got to give up the control here. And just, this is too serendipitous. Welcome to the delivery room, mom.
Okay. Just to shed a little light on this situation. I landed, I called my son-in-law and I said, what should I do? And he said, well, you can go to our apartment. I'll get you the key. And I'm like, I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, you think I'm going to the apartment right now and going to sit in your apartment while my daughter's in labor? So I did get to, I said, I'm coming to the hospital. So I got to the hospital and then I'm in the lobby and I said, I'm here. And so Shaney said, you better bring her up. So I came up and I saw Shaney and gave her a kiss. She hadn't started pushing yet. And so then I was really, really, really respectful. And I was going to leave when it was like 20 minutes later. I made it just in time. Shocking. But 20 minutes later. And I go, okay, do you want me to leave? And Shaney goes, and I'm sure Teddy was just like, oh my God. Shaney goes, you can stay. And I'm like, great. Great. Oh my God. Okay. I'll stay. So I literally sat on the couch. I stayed in my lane because they had like a doula there and Teddy. And it was a whole thing. They had read about it and had pictured how this was going to be, but I'm sure not their mother-in-law mother in the room. And I did stay in my lane because I do get a little queasy and I was worried about Shaney. And I was just, it was beautiful. And I will never forget it as long as I live. It was the best gift. But do you remember that, me sitting in that corner?
I don't know. I don't know that you actually saw anything, Mom. You sat in the back corner of the room by yourself, hunched up in a little ball. I looked over there. I'm like, what is, for the first time in my entire life, the entire time that I've known you, you were quiet.
You didn't go over and help with Shaney?
I'll tell you why. I know that they weren't expecting me there and they had a plan. And I really was truly being respectful. There was doctors, nurses, doulas, Shaney, Teddy, everybody there, like one more person there. I don't think so. So I was being respectful of their moment and it was beautiful. And I did see everything, Shaney. It was very, very beautiful. So I thank you.
I saw everything when Shaney sent me a picture afterwards.
Shaney's our free spirit child. She said she took videos. Like, okay, again, go back to the way I was raised. Like nothing like that ever happened. We were very private. Shaney, I give you credit. You're very open. I think you even sent the picture to your father. Did you?
I did. I mean, I think
I know you
birth
did.
Is such a beautiful thing. I thought it was so incredibly beautiful. Right. And I was coming
picture of Lewin coming out of your vagina to your father.
From my perspective,
it was such a beautiful moment that my father wasn't there to see. And I wanted him to be able to feel like he was a part of it. And also I was very high on these hormones that were coming off of me after birth that I just kept crying. I was so emotional about the entire experience, but I figured everyone would want to be a part of it.
Just so you know, I called dad, like it was like the second day I was there and he was like, I got to tell you something. I don't know what to do with this. She sent me a picture of her vagina with the baby coming out. And I said, I guess it's beautiful. Like enjoy, like that's our generation. It wasn't normal to send a picture of babies coming out of your vagina to around on the cell phone, right? Hello?
Well, it's funny too, because it's a little redhead. So like the only thing you really see is a little bunch of red hair.
Redhead. Yes. Just like you, but it really was beautiful. And thank you. Thank you so much. So I wanted to ask you a question. This is something, you know, we're changing gears here. I wanted to talk about our family and shed a light a little bit on, you know, some funny moments that we had. What do you remember being our biggest family fight? That should pop into your head so easy. Really?
I don't think it was our biggest family fight, but I remember, oh, Maybe I will say two things. The biggest family fight was when my sister and I went to a puppy store and thought it was a good idea to buy my mom a puppy that turned out to be a nightmare of a dog. And so that was the biggest family fight. But the biggest fight I was going to say between you and I, mom, was when we were driving.
Wait, that
my mom and I were driving. And
I see who don't see me. I'm putting my 16
years old. I'm 16 years old and my mom's telling me how to drive and yelling at me while I'm driving. And we got into this huge argument and I told her, mom, if you want to tell me how to drive, then you drive yourself. Right. Like she yelled at me to get out of the car. So I pulled into a parking lot at some random high school and she gets out of the car to switch seats with me. And I just drove away and left her there, which was so mean. And then her cell phone was still in the car with me. So she had to walk from the local high school to the subway nearby to use Subway's phone to call to get a ride home.
My God.
It's like a mile away.
It was a mile away. Wait, I just have to put my perspective. Literally, I felt kind of strange because we keep talking about Subway, like Subway keeps popping back into the conversation. But she literally pulled into a high school and I was getting out and she was so mad at me. She pulled away and left me stranded. I had no phone. I was so mad. I remember just seething and I had to walk on this side road down to Subway and I had to ask the manager. Then I called my husband who was at his office and he said, hold on, because he was on the other line with her. She was laughing, telling the story. And he's like, you better go get her. You better go get her because she is going to lose her mind. And literally an hour later, she came to pick me up. And that was one of the first times, there was probably about five times with Shani, but that was one of the times that I just did not know what to do. I was so mad. I literally said, get out of the car. And I drove home and I said, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have your phone taken away. And she just kept laughing. That was one of our worst fights, definitely. I just could not believe she did it. But the whole family turned it into a laughing thing. So it was really hard to punish you after that. Do you remember? I don't remember what I did. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So anyways, go ahead. What?
I was going to say, but Ryan can speak to our family fight of purchasing a puppy because that seemed like it was a bigger problem and still continues to be a bigger problem.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I don't think it's a fight. I think it's a great thing. I don't think anyone is upset about it. And I am so happy to have Bucky as part of our family.
Do shed light on that one, Ryan, a little more. Because people have no idea what you're talking about.
The only reason Shani and I went to a workout class in Florida and we went to a puppy store, it was after grandma had passed away. And we as nice daughters were trying to get you a companion. And I was going to get you this cute little Maltese and Shani really wanted to get you this big.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is going to turn into Shani's problem. No, not at all. But the Aussie was very cute.
Yeah. And so we said to the guy, look, we'll pay for him. He was not cheap, let me tell you. So you should thank us for that. We'll pay for him. And with the stipulation of we have one day where we can bring him back if our parents don't want him and you'll refund us. And he said, sure. And so we brought him home and we said, mom, if you don't like him, we can take him back in one day. And that was the end of it.
Okay. That was not the end. So let's talk. These are grown children. This is a few years ago. My mother passed away and I was in a very bad place. For another podcast, we can talk about that. But they bring this dog home. Now, you forgot to mention, we had two dogs. We had a 13-year-old dog that required a lot, and I had a rescue dog that had a lot of issues. So here I have this beautiful Aussie, and I'm a dog lover. They know it. And my husband was out of his mind. I have never seen him so out of his mind because when he feels so strongly about something and passionate about something, 90% of the time he's right. Just 90, not 100, but 90% of the time he's right. But I couldn't take this dog back. So both girls said, if it doesn't work out, we'll take him. We'll take him in Washington. We'll take him in Brooklyn. Or were you in Hoboken? Hoboken. We'll take him in Hoboken if it doesn't work out. Well, fast forward, the dog was beautiful and it was a complete zoo in my house all the time. But then COVID hit and the dog, we did not realize because we're dog lovers. We've had dogs since our whole life. We never had an Aussie. He was with us only all through COVID, and we didn't socialize and we didn't realize what was happening. So he became so protective of us. And he was full of fear of people when people start coming out of COVID. And because of that, we sent him to the best trainers. We spent tens of thousands of dollars, I'm embarrassed to say, on this dog. And we still work with him. It's 6 years later. And he is wonderful. His name is Bucky. And I wouldn't trade him for the world, but given the next chapter of our life where it was supposed to be easy and we were able to travel, we can't even have people in our home for dinner. He has to be locked up. We have to be crated, because if you walk in my home, he will bite you. And we're very, very protective of him because he's afraid of people. He's not like this horrible, mean attack dog. He's just afraid. So he does have issues, and we know it, and we're very, very on top of it. But given the ages that we are, to have this in our next chapter was a little bit challenging. And then we finally ended the family war. The girls came up to our bedroom to talk. That's when they said, oh, you know, if it doesn't work, we'll take the dog. We'll take the dog. And we finally came to an agreement. We were going to give it a shot. Well, obviously, I can't let them take the dog right now because they live in cities and both of them are working like crazy. So he's our dog. But at the end of the conversation, these two girls literally had the audacity, after my husband had a complete breakdown over the dog, to say to him, it was really expensive. I'm glad you love him. Do you think you can Venmo us for the dog after that? The same day, they literally said that. He literally threw something and said, get out of my room. I will never forget that as long as I live. It was a funny moment. So anyways, that was a moment that I will never forget. And I will have the memory for as long as Bucky is on this planet. And lucky, lucky us. Girls, anything else you'd like to share about me, our life together, what I'm doing, the jewelry business, what it's been like living with a mom doing this crazy jewelry business? We have nothing to say about me.
No, I think, Mom, you have, you're one of the, as Ryan and I said earlier, you're one of the most passionate and funniest and inspiring people that I think both of us know. I'm trying to, you know, this conversation is sparking up a lot of memories from childhood. And so I was thinking about like all the times where you've just done these hilarious things and brought so much joy into our lives. Like, Ryan, I don't know if you remember this, but like we thought it was so funny. My mom has this issue sometimes with reading where she like reads words the wrong way. and so like I was thinking about how, like, for example,
maybe
it's not dyslexia. It's like creativity of thought.
It's like creativity of how you see things in life.
That's true.
So like, for example, whatever's on her mind. So let's say it's like food and dieting. You know, one time we saw a sign on the side of the street that said my mom thought it said low cal corn. Low calorie corn. She's like, look, guys, let's stop. There's low calorie corn. When it really just was local corn. I don't know. We stopped at McDonald's and you would be the one to order a BLT, but get it without the bacon, the lettuce and the tomato. You've just like done these hilarious things throughout our lives that have been so funny, I think, for all, like for our entire family.
Well, you know what? That's what makes, as Bubby, my grandmother would say, chocolate and vanilla, right? We're all different.
You are neither chocolate or vanilla.
what am I?
I don't know. You're like cake batter with a splash of strawberry and some type of sprinkle on top. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. And so tell me, before we end here, give me what you both, if I say to you, what are you passionate about? Tell me what you're passionate about, each of you.
My kids.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Passionate about my kids.
Jamie?
Yeah, it's supposed to be more than that.
Whatever you
want. No,
I'm looking for a profound answer on what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about family, my kids, passionate about wine.
That is very true.
Yes.
Shiny.
I'm as a new mom now passionate about my son, and I'm excited to start a family, and to kind of start this new adventure in our lives. I'm, living in DC and like the crazy political world. I feel like I'm always, passionate about just making the country and the world a better, place. And then I'm also really passionate just about health. Like that's become a huge passion of mine, whether that means like in the form of exercise or food or just medications or whatever it is. I think, that's become a new, newer, but really passion of mine.
Okay. And when you go through your daily routine, is there anything that ever pops in your head that you say, I sound like my mom, or I hear my mom's voice, or something she's telling me to do?
Yes.
Yeah, every time I'm anxious, like Ted says that to me all the time. He's like, you need to calm down. He's like, I'll wake up at, you know, four in the morning and won't be able to sleep because I have so much on my mind. And he's like, stop, you're literally your mother. You need to go to sleep and turn your brain off.
I'm so sorry I gave you that, but it's so me. It's totally me.
Oh my God. It's like everything. It's like, I have to organize my fridge. If not, then you have a lease in the back of your head saying your fridge is not organized. Your fruit is not clean. You have to make your bed. If not, then it's at least saying, oh, you didn't make your bed today, Ryan. You are everywhere, mom.
What about this podcast? Didn't I tell you, make sure you have makeup on and your hair looks good?
Does it?
I did tell you that, didn't I?
It's like she's saying something, but why? It's a podcast. It's just our voices, right?
No, we're totally going to use your pictures right now.
For what?
When we promote the podcast.
I signed off on this one, mom. No, I never signed off on this one.
You look so cute.
Where is this podcast going, by the way?
Yeah, like,
how do people listen?
I have a very morbid thought. Like, these are like your like last prayers.
Do you guys think I'm dying? Oh my God. Do you think I'm doing this? Cause I hope not. I hope I can have like 500 podcasts before that. Shani, what'd you say? See, I lost track. What'd you say? Where am I going with this?
Yeah. Like how do people even listen to this?
Okay. Thank you for asking that. We're going to launch it. It is called Stacked, like I said in the beginning, and we're going to be talking about power, passion, purpose, and you will be able to find it on any podcast platform, on Apple or Spotify, wherever you look. And we're probably going to be launching very, very soon in the next couple of weeks. I have a few more podcasts that I want to launch with a few podcasts so people can really enjoy how fabulous these are. And I hope it continues. My goal is to bring in all different people and all different situations and friends and entrepreneurs and mothers and fathers and anybody who resonates with all of us in life. So that's kind of where it's going. Does that answer your question, Shani?
Yeah. And as this podcast explodes, because it definitely will, how
does sponsors
reach out to you?
I love how you're my cheerleader.
How would you say, Shani?
I said, as the podcast explodes, because it's going to, right? This is definitely a number one on the charts. How are sponsors supposed to reach out to you?
Right. They will reach out to me at www.EliseRyanJewelry.com.
No, it's not cool to say www anymore.
But it's so cool. That's who I am. www.EliseRyanJewelry.com. See, this is what they do. But you know what? Seriously, when the podcast is put up, there'll be all the information there and how to reach me. And I'm hoping to interview so many fabulous people. Shani, is that really weird for me to say www.EliseRyan.com?
It's a little dated, but that's fine.
Okay. So just wait till it's all posted. We'll have all the appropriate information because you know I'm not tech savvy, but you'll be able to reach me all the time. And you can also reach me through my Elise Ryan Jewelry Instagram at Elise Ryan Jewelry. That's it. I didn't say .com at Elise Ryan Jewelry.
You could say EliseRyanJewelry.com. You don't have to say www.EliseRyanJewelry.com.
But it does say www.EliseRyanJewelry.com.
No, but like when you type something in the URL, you don't write www every time.
So anyways, That's how you're going to be able to find me. And definitely we'll be posting on Instagram. My social media team will be posting about the podcast. I'll be doing it on my personal Instagram and Facebook page. And my two amazing daughters, who are so supportive of everything I do, will be posting this, blowing it up. And I hope all my friends will too, because, oh, look at my daughter. They both have their stacks of jewelry. You're stacked. What are you stacked with, Ryan?
I don't know. My Mama Rye piece, my Lennon piece, my Mav piece, all of them.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone, today for loving Stacked. Please follow along by hitting the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcast. Until next time, live your life with passion, power, and purpose. My kids are still laughing. Do you want to say it, girls? I'll let you say the ending.
We love you, Mom. Keep showing passion and purpose.
But passion, power, and purpose. Thank you, everyone. Looking forward to the next time.
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.